So I want you to turn to Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13. I was out there last night in the dark over at Wish Park, kind of walking around praying. And I had thought I really had another message I was going to preach while I was here. But last night, boy, the Lord just really laid this on my heart. Zechariah 13 and verse 6. And then I'm going to read to you from Jeremiah chapter 15. If you want to stand this morning, Brother Cornett said. Hallelujah. Zechariah 13 and 6. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hand? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. And then I want you to go to Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 18. The Bible said, why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Hallelujah. You can be seated this morning. Hallelujah. I told you I hadn't talked to Brother Maxon about what he's going to preach on. But tell you a little story. I'm from the state of Virginia originally. We now live out in Oklahoma. Pioneered a church there and pastored it a little over 7 years. And we resigned that and decided to do some evangelizing along with our Sunday school literature. But I'm from Virginia, big Civil War country. Lots of Civil War monuments and battlefields and a lot of different things with the Civil War. But my daughter had a book one day that she was reading. It was kind of a historical fiction. It was based on the true story of the Battle of Bull Run. And in this book, on the front cover of that book, I don't even know what the title of it was. But below that title, it had kind of a little subtitle to tell you a little bit about the book. And the little subtitle down below said, had they survived the battle only to die of the wounds? And that's what I want to preach to you on this morning. Surviving the battle, but dying of the wounds. Hallelujah. In that battle of Bull Run, many, many soldiers were wounded in that battle. In fact, there's an old stone house on the corner of 234 and 28 there, west of Manassas, Virginia. I went up there about a year ago and looked at the old stone house. And that old stone house has been there many years. You can walk around it and still see the cannonballs embedded in the stone and the bullets embedded in the mortar around that house. But that old house there, in the middle of that battlefield there, they converted it into a hospital. And at that battle, there were so many men that were wounded at that battle that they, the way I understand, that there were more men that died later as a result of the wounds than actually died on the battlefield from an immediate bullet, fire, or sword. There were more that died later from the wounds. In fact, that old stone house, they made it into a field hospital. Of course, that was before modern medicine, and if someone got shot, really all they could do to stop gangrene was cut the leg off or cut the arm off. And I understand that it's an old two-story stone house that they operated on the lower floor and the upper floor. But as the doctors would remove the wounded limbs, they'd saw them off and sear them with that hot iron. And they would take those limbs and throw them out the window. And I understand that during that battle that there was a pile of arms and legs as tall as the second story window of that house. Many of those men went on and suffered through agony, and gangrene would set in and infection. And many, many men died as a result of the wounds that they acquired in that battle. More died from the wounds later on than actually died on the battlefield in the immediate battle. And you know, I read this scripture this morning. The Bible said, what are these wounds in thine hands? And he said, this is where I was wounded in the house of my friends. And then from Jeremiah chapter 15, he said, why is my wound incurable,
I'll talk to you about, have you survived the battle only to die of the wounds? Talk to you a little while this morning about bitterness. The Bible said, lest any root of bitterness springing up, and thereby many be defiled. You know today that you and I are in a great spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But unfortunately, many times, we also do battle against souls that are flesh and blood. Many times we find ourselves in the middle of a struggle, a conflict, a scandal, a church problem. And many times there are those that they have survived the battle, but later down the road as bitterness sets in, they have died later because of the wounds. I read a story one time about a little dog, and this little dog, his master, you know, the dog, the master could kind of converse in this little story. And in this little story, the master said to the little dog, said, there comes Julie. Don't you remember her when you were just a little puppy? And that little dog said, oh, yes, I remember her. I remember there I was, a young pup, ready to please. And she grabbed a stick and threw the stick and said, go fetch him. I ran to fetch the stick and grabbed him in my mouth and come running back, so eager to please. And as I get back, he said, I got there just in time to watch her walk off petting an old English sheepdog. The master looked at him and said, that was many years ago, and you were just a little puppy. How do you still remember that? And the little dog reached around and pulled it out and said, I'll tell you how I remember it. I've still got the stick. And you know what, today, there are many, many times that we do face troubles, and we do struggle, and we do go through battles. And sometimes we feel so proud of ourselves that we survived, Brother Doug. We made it through the battle. We made it through the struggle. We're still preaching the gospel. We're still going to a holiness church. But I wonder sometimes if deep down inside we still don't have that wound. We still aren't holding on to the stick, onto the bitterness that has come in our lives. Have you survived the battle only to die of the wounds? In Psalm 109 and 22, the psalmist said, my heart is wounded within me. Brother Max and I, you've all been there, and I'm talking to preachers and to church members, but right now as a minister, I can remember the time that Brother Doug, they turned the cold shoulder to me. And I can remember the times that they ran me down, and they talked about me, and they trying to ruin me. And you know what? I survived the battle. I made it through, but somewhere down the road as my heart was wounded, somewhere down the road as I felt that pain inside, I'd feel like I was doing better. I'd feel like I'd got over it. But then I would realize there was still a wound and a sore that had never totally healed up. Have you survived the battle just to die of the wounds? I'm going to give you a little medical lesson here. I get fever blisters, cold sores 3 or 4 times a year. I went to the doctor one day, and I said, I want to know what causes these, and how do I stop these? I think a third of America, they claim, gets fever blisters or cold sores. I said, how do I stop this? And so my doctor, he said, let me explain to you what it is and what causes it. I didn't know this, and you may not either, but he said what that is. He said, there is a virus that gets in your body. I said, when you were just a child, you might have had an old cranky aunt that kissed you. And that virus, you might have had a cold sore. And that virus that gets on your lip and goes into your body. And he said that virus gets in that nerve and it travels down that nerve and to your spine. And he said the virus will live there at your spine for the very rest of your life. He said you never get rid of it. That there's no medical science that can kill that virus that's living along your spine. And he said the reason you get a cold sore, he said there will be a trauma. For myself, normally it's a bad sunburn. I get out in the sun real bad. I'll get a fever blister. He said there will be a trauma, a sunburn, a windburn, a blow, something will happen to that flesh. And he said when that happens, that virus at the other end of that nerve in your back will activate. And it will travel up that nerve to that spot. And a cold sore will break out there. I want to tell you something. You let that bitterness in, and it gets down inside. And you may not show it for a while. You may not have any visible signs. You may not feel like you're ever going to have a problem again. But suddenly a trauma happens. Suddenly something comes up, and you find out that you've never got over the wound. Are you going to survive now just to die later of the wound? The doctor told me I've got patients that get them on the back of their hand. He said, I've got a patient that every 3 months breaks out in the middle of his back with a big cold sore because that virus that was down inside cannot be eradicated. And listen, I faced the battle with bitterness before. I fought the battle with the struggle and wondering and having hard feelings. And I'm here to tell you, if you don't get rid of it somewhere down the road, you're going to die somewhere down the road. It's going to kill you. Brother Maxson talked about self-inflicted wounds. There are wounds that people have brought on themselves. Oh, yeah. They have brought on themselves, so he did such a fine job. I'm not going to really even touch that. They brought it on themselves, but I'm here to tell you, if you don't get rid of it, it's going to kill you. But I want to read to you a Song of Solomon, chapter 5, chapter 4. Solomon, the Shulamite, they love one another. There, Solomon goes to the door. He knocks on the door. The Shulamite can't come. She doesn't get up. I put off my coat. In chapter 5 and verse 3, I cannot come to the door. The beloved put his hand in, and the Bible said her bowels were moved for him. She arose to open to her beloved, but he had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. And verse 7 is what broke my heart. The Bible said the watchman that went about the city, they found me. Oh, here the watchmen were. The ones that should have been watching for the soul. The ones that should have been trying to prevent any kind of wound. The watchmen found me. Oh, and they smote me. And they wounded me. As sad as it is, I hate to say that many times it's the watchmen and we have caused injuries. Many times it's the preachers. And in our ignorance and lack of wisdom, we have hurt church members. And we have drove people away. We have caused bitterness and hard feelings. But I'm here to tell you, even if the watchman did it, you can't afford to carry the wound around. You can't afford to die of the wound. As a preacher, great men are not always wise. And there have been times that, brethren, I've heard them. And I knew I heard them. As a pastor, don't look at me pious like you've never done anything dumb. I've done some dumb things. And Brother Miller, I've heard them because of my stupidity. And you know what? I've watched as they've got hurt.
And they walked out, and they didn't realize that the watchman that might have heard him, he realized he was wrong. I've even gone to him before and said, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done it that way. Oh, but they allowed the hurt. They allowed the wound to build up inside. Oh, yeah, they still come to church. They still teach Sunday school. They still shout and run every now and then. But 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, when you look at them in their hard shell, and God no longer moves them, oh, they survived the battle. But the wounds got them. The bitterness got them. Listen, you cannot afford to let the wounds get you. We read of Absalom. He had a beautiful sister, Tamar. He had a brother, Amnon. You know the story. Amnon took advantage of his sister. Absalom, I don't believe, ever got over the wound. Oh, yeah. A couple years went by. He didn't go ahead and kill Amnon right then. He survived. Oh, yeah, he's still the king's son. Oh, Absalom's doing okay. But down inside, you know what I found ironic? I found when Absalom had some children, he had some sons, but he also had a daughter. And you know what he named that daughter? He named her Tamar. Always there's a remembrance. The Bible said she was a woman of a beautiful countenance. She was a beautiful face, but a bad memory to Absalom. And Absalom never got over that. Absalom never recovered from the wound. And the day came when he saw his chance to get Amnon. And there Absalom allowed the devil to step in. And it killed Amnon. And down the road cost Absalom his very own life. You cannot afford to let the wound. Brother Maxson said earlier that the reason we call them splits is because we're holiness people, and that's what we know how to do. There's nothing that hurts people worse than a split. Sometimes they have to happen. I realize that. Sometimes they have to happen. But if you've ever been through one and you've ever faced that church trouble, oh, you might have went on. You might have went on. But down somewhere under the surface was a sore that just never would heal up. You listen. You better let it go. You better get it healed. You better turn loose of the bitterness. Oh, if you don't, you're going to find yourself one day. But just like Wendy was, I knew Wendy. I knew her for many years, and there's a little church trouble. I've fallen out with the preacher. Oh, they went to another church. It seemed like everything was all right. But down inside, it was still festering. And you know, 3 years later, Brother Maxson, she looked at that husband and those children and walked out the door a bitter shell of a woman. You know why? She never got over the wound. She kept it there. And I'm telling you today, you can't afford to survive just to die later. You'll still end up just as dead if you don't get over the wound. We talk about the Good Samaritan. The man went from Jerusalem down to Jericho, fell among thieves. They beat him, stripped him, left him half dead, but he survived. He was still alive. His breathing might have been labored. His blood pressure might have been low. But Brother Doug, he survived. He had survived. Along comes the priest. Along comes the Levite. They look over at the wounded one laying there. They don't recognize that he survived. They walk on by. But thank God for a good Samaritan. Hey, that man laying there, he was still alive.
He wasn't dead yet. While there's still life, there's still hope. He wasn't dead yet. Had it not been for a good Samaritan that came along. Oh, the priest and Levite said, well, he's still alive. Let's go on down the road. Well, it looks like he's still there. Let's go on down the road. But a good Samaritan went over where he was and said, listen, buddy, you may have survived the battle, but now let's get you over the wounds. Let's get you where you recover from the wounds. And that is my prayer this morning. You've survived this far. Let's get over the wounds. Let's be healed. Let's recover. Don't let the devil get you.
Brethren, they may have voted you out of a church. They may have treated you bad. Who was it? Who was it preaching about the wife and the children seeing so much? Is that yesterday? Yeah, Brother Ronnie, my father-in-law. I knew somebody said it. Talking about the wife and the children and all that they saw. You may have seen your husband as he got thrown out of the church. You may have seen your daddy as he got abused by the church members. You may have seen him as the deacon lined him out and chewed him out. Oh, brother, you may have been the one that had to look there like I did as that woman looked my wife in the face and said, Sister Vance, you've never prayed a day in your life. You've never been really a hold of God. You've never read your Bible in your life. My wife's going, oh, yeah, I have, yeah, I have. She said, no, you haven't. God told me that your house is full of devils and you're never going to do anything for God. As they stood there in my church, as one of my church members, as one of my preachers in the church, and his wife laid my wife out. Oh, I took it for a while, and I finally looked at him and said, you need to tell your wife to shut up and take her home. But you know what? I saw that. Oh, but I cannot afford to die of that wound. You've been there. You faced it. You've been through the battle. But you cannot afford. Oh. When David took Bathsheba, oh, committed that awful sin. The baby died. It's covered. Finally, he repents. It's all over. But there was a grandfather by the name of Ahithophel that was David's trusted counselor. David said, not an enemy that turned against me, but as thou my friend, my God. We went into the house of God in company. Oh, we walked arm in arm. Oh, and Ahithophel allowed that bitterness to eat at him until the day came that Absalom rebelled against David. And you know what the Bible said? That Ahithophel is also among them. Sometimes, brethren, the closest friends, the closest brethren, those you look up to and those you love, sometimes they are the one that let you down. But you can't be like Ahithophel. You can't keep holding on to it. Somewhere you gotta let it go or you're going to die of the wounds. Those which are lame, don't let them be turned out of the way. Rather, let them be healed. Oh, listen. Brother Maxson talked about self-inflicted wounds. You can't afford to die of those. Whether you caused them or somebody else caused them, you'll end up just as dead if you don't do something about them. Oh, my wife's uncle, Roger Rose, got a cut one time on his hand. And he babied that cut. And he petted that cut. And he covered that cut. And you know what? It got worse and worse and worse. Finally, one day, he went to the doctor. And the doctor said, it's infection set in. And they set him in the emergency room. I said, lay your hand in this little pan of warm water. And he thought, boy, this sure does feel good.
and he laid that hand over in that pan of warm water and let it soak 15 minutes. But about that time, the nurse walked in. She reached over to the tray and picked up a scrub brush and pulled his hand out of the water and started scrubbing. Oh, he said it felt like his arm was about to come off. But you know what that nurse was doing? She was saying, we're not going to let you die of it. You'll not lose your arm to it. We're going to heal the wound.
He never even had to take any antibiotics. He never took a drop of medicine. She just scrubbed it for all she was worth, and it healed up. And this morning, I'm up here if there's any way I can. You've suppressed it. It's scabbed over, but underneath it's festering. And if there's any way I can this morning, I want to rake the head off of it where you can let it drain. And let it get out. Because if you don't,
I've got preacher friends today that are no longer with the Holiness People. You know why they're no longer with the Holiness People? It's not because they committed adultery. It's not because they were like Brother Max and Stigger up here. But the reason they are no longer with us today is because they allowed a root of bitterness to creep in among them. They allowed themselves to get bitter at something another brother had done or something a church had done. And today they're no longer preaching the gospel because they got bitter.
I'm about done. I know Brother Dallas is coming. He's a longer-winded preacher than I am. I'm going to give you 20 minutes. Isaiah 53, the Bible said he was wounded. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. But this is the part I like. But with his stripes ye are healed.
You've let it go on long enough. You've let it fester long enough. You've held onto that stick long enough. You've stayed bitter long enough. You've held onto that anger long enough. Oh, I know, we call it hurt. We dress it up and try to make it sound spiritual. Oh, we're just a little hurt. But you've held on to it long enough. And it's time you say, with his stripes we are healed. By his blood I can recover from this wound.
I'm going to tell you a little secret. As a young preacher, some of you know, someone started a vicious rumor about me. Wasn't anything to it. Wasn't true at all. Many preachers heard it. Many preachers believed it. Brother Miller almost got bitter over it. But you know what I decided? I decided it wasn't doing it to me. And you know the main fellow that started it? Last time I was in his area, I went to his church. And I hugged his neck. And he had me preach. And go over to his house for dinner. You know why? Because back a couple years ago at a camp meeting, I did a camp meeting and he was there. I looked over in the corner and he was down in the corner crying. And he got up and started looking around. I knew he was looking for me. So I just stepped out who I was behind. And he saw me and he came a beeline straight towards me. And he threw his arm around my neck, sobbing and crying. And said, Matthew, I love you, and I'm sorry.
And I said, I love you too, and I'm sorry too. And the last time I went to his church, I got up and preached. He stood up behind me and said, "Preach it, preacher. You know why? I've got over the wound. You don't have to let it kill you. You don't have to go down. Why don't you let it be healed?" He was wounded for our transgressions, and by His stripes we are healed. You can be healed this morning of that wound. You can be healed. Let's stand. Oh, you've carried it long enough. You've carried it long enough. Oh, you've been hurt. I've talked to people that every time you talk to them, they remember the church trouble 15 years ago. I've talked to preachers. One, I got to where I just hated to be around him. Because every time I was, all I heard was about the sorry dogs he used to pastor that voted him out of that church. If he don't get over it, he's going to die of those wounds. You better let it go. You better let it go. Oh, I've survived, preacher. I'm still at camp meeting. I'm still singing. I'm still coming to church. Oh, yeah, you've survived this far. But I can see you're getting weaker and weaker and weaker as the wound eats at your body. You better let it go, or you will die of those wounds. Hallelujah. Won't you bow your heads? I'm not going to give an altar call this morning. At least I don't plan to. But if you are here, oh, you're here. You're hurt. You're wounded. Oh, you've carried it around for a long time. You're still okay. You're still coming. But if you don't get rid of that, if you don't get rid of that, next year or the year after, you won't be here. Oh, that toe tag will be on him, Brother Maxson. That toe tag. Now listen. I'm not saying you're lost. I'm not saying it's even your fault. The watchman might have done it. It might have been a preacher. It might have been somebody else. It might have been a self-inflicted wound, Brother Maxson. But if you don't get rid of it, oh, if you don't get healed, oh, you're going to die. Slip your hands up, Lord. Today, help us. Lord, the one here that is hurting the most, the one that's wounded the most, Lord. Oh, God, don't let him be turned out of the way. Lord, let him be healed. Hallelujah. Just reach out to God right now. It doesn't take very long to let it go. It doesn't take very long to forgive and let the bitterness go. You can do it this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah.